continue with our series on the book of Mark. Mark 7 and verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they had received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brassen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not the disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth his father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall lay to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, ye shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word. So we're introduced to the Pharisees and the scribes, who have journeyed up from Jerusalem to investigate or to look into this very popular person who was the Lord Jesus. And we've had a number of miracles so far. He's been healing all over, and he fed 5,000 people. And so his fame has spread abroad, and they want to come up and see who this person is. And so a little background on the Pharisees and the scribes. The Old Testament repeatedly declared that the only worship that pleases God is that which flows from the heart that sincerely loves him and seeks to obey his word. Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5 says, hear, O Israel, that Lord, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And so true worship involves the whole person, heart, soul, and strength. And mere externalism is never acceptable to God. I was driving to Buena Park last week, and we drive to Buena Park every Sunday, or once a month, or now about once a month. And if you take the carpool lane to Buena Park, you come to a spot where the 57 freeway goes off towards Anaheim Stadium, and then off north into, it ends up, I can't remember the name of the city now, but it ends up north of the 10 and ends up against the foothills. And if you get confused and you come up to the where it splits and the 5 goes one way and the 57 goes the other way, your mind wants you to go to the right because the 57 goes to the right. And so you think to stay on the 5, you need to go to the left. And if you do that, then you've made a mistake and you're off course. And it's happened to more than one or two people that have called me up and have called me and they said, I was going to Pasadena, or I was going to Hollywood, or I was going to downtown LA, and I'm in Riverside or Moreno Valley. and I don't understand how I got out here. And the fact of the matter is that if you make that mistake at that juncture, which is right by Disneyland, and you go, if you go right, if you go left instead of right, and you go to the 57, it curls you off, and it goes up a little while, and about 10 miles from there, it then merges with the 60. And the 60 is coming from the east, and the two merge. And if you want to stay on the 57 at that point, you have to merge over about five lanes to go north on the 57. If you stay to the right, you end up on the 60. If you're familiar with L.A., the 60 comes across L.A., and then it dips down and goes down into Moreno Valley. So if somehow you don't, so if you make one mistake, it leads to a second mistake, and you end up 60 and 70 miles away from where you're planning on going. Well, in a way, I would tell you that that's in a way what the Israelites did. Is God had mapped out a course for them to follow him with their heart, and they brought in externalism, got off track, and ended up just not a little bit off track, not a few miles apart, but they ended up way out, in the case of Moreno Valley, out in the desert. They ended up way up there because they started to put external things in because it's easier to measure up externally than it is to be measured with the worship of your heart. And so you start doing things like going to church. You start doing things like praying or reading your Bible or doing rote things and ritual things and do things every day as a practice, thinking that somehow if you do those every day, God will be pleased. And that's what these Jewish people did. Now there are some like David who understood, and he said these words to Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28:9, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know that the God of thy father, serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." And Lance mentioned that in his opening, is this very idea that God sees the heart. So it's possible to not have your heart engaged when you're doing ritual things. You're doing them because you think that they're the right thing to do while your heart's far from God. But God sees the heart. So in spite of clear instructions, the nation repeatedly slipped into externalism, hypocrisy, and finally apostasy. They got so far away from God that what they were practicing wasn't even anywhere acceptable with God. And so in response to Israel's calloused unbelief, God raised up prophets who called the people back to true worship and obedience. And as you read the Old Testament, he kept telling them, you're off course, you're off course, you're off course, you're off course. Nothing's worse than if you have a GPS and it says, make U-turn as soon as possible. Because you get off course. And if you have a GPS and you're not following it, it keeps telling you, you're off course. Make a U-turn as soon as possible. Make a U-turn as soon as possible. God did that. Jeremiah 29:13, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with your whole heart." Not serve him with ritual, but seek him with your heart. Joel 2:12-13, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fastings and with weeping and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and be of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil." Now, we've read of people who we thought were faithful servants of God, and we thought were religious people, and they do terrible things. And that's because their heart's not engaged. They're just doing ritual things. And so there's this constant call for repentance. And so the Lord's not interested in external symbols of sorrow like the tearing of clothes. And so he says, don't rend your clothes. Don't rend your heart, not your garments. Have a change of hearts. Because then people would rend their garments and sit in sackcloth and ashes and wail and mourn as if they were in mourning. And God says, if your heart's not engaged, that means nothing. So rend your heart, not your garments. And when Jesus walked the earth, the religious practice of the Jews were external and their heart was far from God. They were way off course. They were way off course. And so over the centuries, Jewish tradition had created a legalistic religion of self-righteous practice, and the Pharisees were the worst offenders. Scribes were students of the law and knew each of the external requirements of heart. And so they said, well, it says to keep the Sabbath. Well, what does that mean? And so they developed these laws, which they call the Mishnah, which told you you could walk so far on the Sabbath day. You could do this and not this. You couldn't light a fire, so you had to light the fire. You could light a match, but you couldn't build a fire. You couldn't spill water because that would be washing the floor. That would be considered washing the floor. And they had all these rules. And so instead of saying, be devoted to God with your heart, instead they said, if you do these things, then God will be pleased. And they were all external. And so when Jesus came, he confronted the hypocritical worship of his day in the same manner the prophets before him had denounced it in theirs. And having heard of Jesus' fame, the Pharisees and scribes are sent to investigate by the power that be in Jerusalem. So they sent these Pharisees to investigate. So in verse 2, and when they saw some of his disciples eat bread and with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. And so they came, and they were looking for something they could judge. They were looking for something they could be critical of. And the disciples ate bread without washing their hands. Now, this does not mean their hands were dirty. The problem was is they didn't go through the ritual cleansing, the religious cleansing that the Pharisees required that you do. And they didn't do that. So it wasn't that their hands were dirty. It was that they didn't do a ritual that the Pharisees thought you had to do. And they had, and as we go on, we're going to see in verse 3, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not holding the tradition of the elders. So the elders had said, there's this certain practice you have to do before you eat. This is what it involves. And if you don't do it, then don't eat. And so we're not talking about dirty hands. We're talking about a ritual washing that they wanted to take place. And that was holding the tradition of the elders. They had put these traditions in place. And if you didn't do them, then you were guilty before God, that you were unrighteous. And then verse 3 and 4, for the Pharisee and all the Jews, except they'd wash their hands off, eat not holding the tradition of the elders, and when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many of the things there be, which they have received to hold, as in the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of table. And they had this whole procedure for washing anything, for washing a cup, for washing the plate, for washing the utensils, for washing the table, for washing your hands. And it was a ritual washing. It had to be done in just a certain manner to meet the requirements. And so in verse 5 it says, and then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And so the charge against the disciples that they brought to the Lord, and he was their rabbi, or he was their guide, he was their teacher, and they ask him, why walk not the disciples according to the, why are not the disciples following to traditions? Are you not teaching them the traditions? Are you not teaching them the traditions? Why are they breaking the traditions? This is holiness. This is what pleases God. And they're not doing it. And so they not only condemn the disciples, they're condemning Jesus as their teacher for not following traditions of the elders. And so verse 6, and he answers them. And he's going to give him a stern rebuke. And he quotes from Isaiah 29:13. And 29:13 says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men. And so Isaiah comes to the people at his time, which is hundreds of years before Jesus' time, and says, your hearts are removed from the process. It's become a ritual. You're just doing it because someone has told you this is what you have to do. And there's no connection between you and God. There's no fellowship between you and God. You're doing it because it's a tradition. You're doing it because it's a tradition. And so he says, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And that's why you see pastors falling into sin. And you see these scandalous things that happen in a church of abuse of children and women. Because these people are really just doing through a ritual. And their hearts are far removed from God. And so the Lord calls them hypocrites. And a hypocrite is something that's is one thing on the outside and something totally different on the inside. In another passage, he called them whited sepulchers. They look perfectly fine. They have a fresh coat of paint on them. But in this inside, they're rotten to the core. And so he calls them a hypocrite. This is the only time Mark uses this word, hypocrite, is in this passage. So by appearance, you're one thing, but in truth, you're something else. And unfortunately, there are some in our day who elevate externals to a level that they keep the externals and think they're pleasing God. And it might just be attending church every Sunday. As I said earlier, it might be reading your Bible. It might be praying. And so we've taken things that are traditions of men and said, we're going to do these, and therefore God will be pleased, and then I'll meet the requirements. See, we like to have standards and say, well, what do I need to do to meet the requirements? You ever take a class, one of the first things you ask in a class, what do I need to pass the class? You get an A on this, get a B on this, do 20% of the finals, your grade. Turn in your homework and you'll get a decent grade. And so you go, okay. And then you do all those things. You don't have to be engaged in the class. You just have to meet standards. Well, God said, that's not the way it works with me. I want an engaged heart. I want to know I have your heart. I want to know that you truly understand and believe who I am. I don't want you just going through the steps to get a grade. And so people fall into this habit of trying to figure out how to get a good grade, and then they're just doing the work for the grade. They're not really understanding or loving God with their heart. Luke 11:42 says, well, woe unto you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought to have done and not to leave the others undone. And so they would pay tithing on mints and herbs and the littlest thing. They would make sure they paid the tithing because they were so into their tradition. And God says, but you forgot love and compassion. You forgot caring for your neighbor. You forgot all those things. You're so busy doing the requirements that you forgot the most important thing, which is love. And so we can look down our nose at the Pharisees and say, oh, look, they were hypocrites. They were ritualists. They were externals. They only did the externals and unfortunately be guilty of some of the same things. Verse 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And so he points out that they were teaching doctrines for the commandments of men. And so they pretended to love God, yet they worshiped him in a way that was superficial, contrived, unbiblical, and in the end, unacceptable to God. And so to drive the point home, he says, They're teaching the traditions of men as the commandments of God. And so the doctrines are the commandments of God. The doctrine is what, who God is and what he wants. And they've replaced that with their traditions. And they're teaching their traditions of how to wash plates and how to wash your hands and how far to walk on the Sabbath and how to, and what you can do on the Sabbath and all those rituals and how much you had to tithe on a mint and an herb and a seasoning. All of those. And forgot that loving the Lord your God with all your heart was the number one. And they were trying to do external things to earn the right grade. And God said, you're a failure. Because the external things aren't what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in them at all. And what you've done is you've taken and you've made these external things what you somehow is a standard, and you're trying to, and you're teaching these other people to live up to the standard. And in doing so, you've ignored the important things. You're going through the process. You're honoring with my lips, but your heart is far, far removed. Verse 8, for laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the traditions of men. As a washing of pots and cups and many other such things. So they've laid aside the commandments of God. They've elevated the tradition of men, such things as external washings and practices like that, above what God has required. Do not covet. Do not desire your wife, your neighbor's wife. Do not steal. Do not lie. Keep the Sabbath. All those things could be externalized, but they were all wrapped up, and we find in the New Testament, and love your neighbor as yourself, and love the Lord your God with all your heart. And Paul says that fulfills the whole law. If you were truly doing that, the rest of them, which are all relational, all stem, if you really love your neighbor, you don't steal from them. If you really love your neighbor, you don't steal his wife. If you really love your neighbor, you don't lie from him. And so God says, all those things, if you love me with your whole heart, you'll love others. And so they said, well, that's almost impossible. And how do we know what really is the right thing to do? So what we're going to do is we're going to come up with these traditions. And it got down to how you wash a plate and how you wash your hands. And that's what we're going to teach the people and tell them that if they do all these things right, then God will be pleased. And so the Lord Jesus tells them very plainly and very clearly, they've laid aside the commandments of God and inserted the tradition of men. And so reminds me of a verse in Jeremiah 2:13. It says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. And so that's what the Lord is telling them. They've committed two evils. One, they've rejected the commandments of God. And the second, they've replaced them with the commandments of men, with the traditions of men. And so Jeremiah is the same as he's warning these people, is that really the first part of the problem is you've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. The first thing is to reject God. You reject God and say, no. No, God, my traditions are more important. And you have to reject God and say, no, I'm going to do the traditions. I'm not going to live before a holy God. I'm going to do these things because this is what I've been taught to do. And then the second is, after you've rejected God, then you have to try to make these things work. And the thing is that these traditions and keeping these traditions do not satisfy. They don't satisfy. As Jeremiah said, they're broken. They hold no water. There's no refreshment. There's no sense of accomplishment. You strive and you strive and you strive, and there's no ending. And every time you fail, because it's impossible to be perfect, every time you fail in one of these traditions, then you feel like a failure and you start all over and you have guilt guilt conscience about everything that's happened. Verse 10. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curseth his father or mother, let him die the death. And so now he's going to go right back to the Ten Commandments. He's going to go, God gave you a commandment. If you really love the Lord your God with all your heart, you're going to love your parents also with all your heart. And so I'm commanding you to love your parents. Honor them. Honor them. And whosoever curseth his father or mother, let him die the death. And so he's going to show them, this is how you've done it. Now, you at this point, they're probably thinking, what is he talking about? We've replaced the commandments of God with tradition of men. What is he saying? How does that even make sense? Because our traditions are just spelling out how to keep the commandments of God. And so he's going to use a specific example. He's going to take them back to Exodus, where the Ten Commandments are. He's going to use Scripture to point out their fallacies. Now, here's the test always. Is there Scripture to show that you're wrong? If someone says something that sounds wrong, and there's many things being said wrong today, there's a young man running for Texas senator that says things that are absolutely crazy, and he's has a degree from seminary, and he twists the Scriptures like you wouldn't believe. And they're absolutely crazy things he's saying. But if you don't have Scripture to go back to and say, no, this is what the Scripture has to say. And so the Lord Jesus takes him back to the Scriptures, Exodus 21:12, and he says, the law says, honor thy father, thy mother, and thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And Exodus 21:17, he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And so God himself had instructed his people to honor, respect, and treat their parents with care. And to not do so was a violation of the Ten Commandments, particularly the fifth commandment, and it was worthy of death. I mean, this is pretty serious stuff. So inherent in loving your father and mother is a responsibility to love and respect them throughout the entirety of their lives, including helping to meet their needs if they become unable to provide for themselves. That's what love is. You can't ignore them when they're in need. In fact, if you love your neighbor, you don't ignore your neighbor when you're in need. But even more so, you don't ignore your parents when they're in need. Now notice what it says in verse 11. But ye say... And now he's going to tell them what they say. This is what God says. This is what you've said. This is what you're teaching instead. And notice what it says. It says, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And so what they taught, and the word Corban means devoted to God, referred to as offering or given to God. And Mark, writing for a Gentile audience, explains that because he doesn't believe the Gentiles will understand what Corban means. So he says, that is to say a gift. That if I've given a gift or I've committed a gift, if I've made a commitment particularly towards God that I'm going to give God something, and I've already laid that aside, and I would have to dip into that to provide for my parents, then I don't have to dip into that because I've already committed that to God. Now, whether you ever give it to God or not, that's a different issue. And so the rabbinic tradition had grown to undermine the commandment. And instead, they taught that your first duty was to God, and if you met that duty, you were good. Don't worry about your parents. Meet your duty to God. Give your gift to God, and then you've met your requirements. And God will take care of your parents. And so he's pointing out that that tradition is not from God. And what they did that because they wanted to hang on to their money. Because they coveted their money. And they didn't want to share it. And they really didn't love their parents. And they really didn't love God. And so instead they created this tradition which got around the whole thing. And the Lord's calling them to account for this tradition that they've created. Verse 12. and you suffer him no more to do aught for his father and his mother. And they set aside God, and because they set aside God, they were no longer required to be responsible for their parents. Their parents needed to depend on God because they were given to God. Therefore, God would somehow take care of the parents. Or at least they planned to give to God. And so they nullified God's plain commandment of caring for their parents. And God said that was worthy of death. But they were okay with doing that, and they were okay with teaching that tradition that you didn't have to care for your parents. And so he tells them their heart is far removed from God. Because if you really love God, you'd love your parents. And you wouldn't figure out some tradition to justify you not taking care of your parents. And so their heart was evil and desperately wicked, and they didn't realize that. They were so far off course. They made a wrong turn, and they got so far off course that they almost couldn't get back. And he's calling them back. He's telling them, you're off course. You need to come back. You need to make a U-turn and come back. You need to repent and realize that you've become an outward, external religion. And your heart is far from God. You speak well of God. You honor me with your lips. You talk like you're a Christian. You talk like you're a believer in God. But the way you practice and the way you live your life shows that you're not. And the saddest part of it is that they were keeping religious traditions. They thought that they were doing the right thing because they were being taught that keeping these religious traditions was what pleased God. And the Lord Jesus comes along and goes, no, you made a wrong turn back there a ways. Your traditions are exactly the opposite. In fact, your traditions are replacing the commandments of God. Your traditions are going exactly the opposite direction from what God wants you to go. And so then we come to verse 13, and it says, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions. They've so confused and obfuscated the issue that the people no longer knew. They made the word of God a non-effect. Don't read that. Listen to us. It's always dangerous. When someone says, don't read the Bible, listen to us, that should be a red light right there. That should be a warning sound. The dong should go off, the bell should ring, and you know right there something's wrong. And that's what the Pharisees did. They go, no, you can't understand that. Let the scribes who studied the law, let the scribes who know the law, let us who know the law and interpret the law, let us tell you what you should be doing. And unfortunately, we have some religions today in our day and age, they've done that same thing. They say our traditions are even stronger than God's word. The authority for what you are to do doesn't rest in God's word. The authority for what you do rests in the church. And so if we tell you this, don't come to us and show us the Bible says something else, because we have more authority than the Bible. And that's exactly the same thing the Pharisees did. It's interesting to me that we have religions, some of them called Christian, who are doing exactly the same thing the Pharisees did. They're saying our traditions are more important to practice. Don't let the Bible confuse you. And they've made the word of God of non-effect. Everything starts and ends with the word of God. And if you can't prove something from the word of God, then it doesn't matter. And so if you get in an argument with someone, they go, well, that's our church's tradition, or our church's teaches this. Our church has more authority than the word of God. Well, right then, you're right back in the same boat as the Pharisees, because they thought they had more authority than the word of God. Only one thing. And so be careful when anyone makes the word of God of non-effect through their traditions. Because the Word of God must be superior, must be your touch point, must be your proof point, must be the thing that you rely on. And then it says, which ye have delivered, and many such things you do. And as you read the New Testament, it's going to come up time and time again. Is they're going to say, you broke the law. And he said, what law? And one of the big laws that they constantly hammered him on was keeping of the Sabbath. You healed on the Sabbath. You healed on the Sabbath. And he tells them, was Sabbath made for man, or was Sabbath was made for man? Healing, there's nothing wrong with healing on the Sabbath. He's doing good works. He's showing the love of God and the love to his fellow man when he heals. And they thought it was wrong because it was their tradition that to heal on the Sabbath was wrong. And so they're caught up in this web that their traditions are such that it nullifies the truth of the Scripture. That's so dangerous. That's so dangerous. And so he presses the exposure of hypocrisy to the Pharisees and scribes, stating that they were making the Word of God of no effect, of non-effect. That's a serious charge. You're so disattached from God with your externals that you don't even know what God wants. You're saying you need to do this because that's what God wants, and you're wrong. You made a right turn back there where you should have made a left turn, and you're so far off course that you're not even in a relationship with God anymore. So instead of doing rituals to please God, you're actually displeasing him. And as we go on in Mark, we're going to see how that is going to be brought to their attention. And the more pressure they put on the Lord Jesus to get in line with their traditions, the more he's going to expose them for the hypocrites that he is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can gather together for Carlos's birthday. We thank you for the meal that you've provided for us. We would give you thanks for that meal and ask you to bless us as we share time with Carlos. We thank you he was able to come out today. We thank you for his son and daughter-in-law, both Carlos Jr. and Maricela, to come out, Father, to join us for this celebration. We thank you for their arriving. We pray blessings upon Carlos, Father, and we thank you again for the Word of God. We thank you for the message that is so clear, that loving God with your heart is what matters, not the traditions, not the externals, not the practices, but loving God with your whole heart. And Father, we would pray that those here would know what it is to love God with their whole heart. We thank you again in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.